Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to the finale of our I Have Questions series. Come on, yeah, you can put your hands together for Jesus. Come on. This is the fourth week of our series, and I think it's a great setup for our brand new series next week on freedom. And because we believe that we all got hurts and some habits and some hang-ups, but how many of you know the Bible says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed? And we're gonna explore how to find freedom from some of those things beginning next week. Really, those 3 weekends are really, I would do whatever you have to be here, because they're gonna be powerful time. Well, today's big question that I'm trying to tackle is this: why do I keep on repeating the same cycles? You know, like, why do I keep on kind of just going through the same things? Like, come on, you've been there before. It just seems like I just keep on falling into the same trap, or I keep on meeting the same boy or girl. Not me, because I'm married, but you understand what I'm saying. And you understand cycles. And I believe today is going to help you find the root of it and help you find how to break those cycles in your life. And today I'm going to read just a few short verses. That this is Jesus speaking, and you may not fully know where I'm going to go with this, but it'll make more sense here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, it says, "And Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first,'" say first "'and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself.'" Today I want to talk to you from this big idea, really 3 words that are so powerful to give and receive, and it's simply this: I forgive you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence that is here. God, I thank you for a room full of faith. God, I thank you that people want to leave here differently than they came in today. So God, I pray, Lord God, that forgiveness would flow towards us and from us, Lord, and that we would find a new level of freedom coming into our lives. Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, 11 a.m. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. So have you ever met two people that had the same experience, but they experienced it in a very, very different way? Like, they explained it in a different way. Their attitude was very different about it. And the outcome of the situation was very different than the other person they went through it with. You know, growing up, my grandparents lived right next door to us, and my grandparents were amazing people. They were Christian people that, you know, I loved them very much, and just spent every day with them. So my grandfather and grandmother were kind of like Jesus to me. Anybody got a grandma and grandpa like that? Anybody? That's my grandparents. And so my mom is also a really amazing person. Many of you know her. Crystal, is she in here? Let's embarrass her. Nope. No? Okay. But she's an amazing person. But her brother, I used to want this guy, the decisions he would make in life, I would be like, you know what I mean? Like, always in trouble, always getting into something, always doing something. And I remember even growing up at a young age going, how did you guys grow up in the same home with the same parents and have such a different outcome than one another? Come on, if your brother is that person and they're sitting next to you, don't look at him right now. But I just remember thinking that. And I started to realize that our environment influences us in a different way. And not only that, the way we process our environment. How about this? The way we process our wins and our failures affect each person very, very differently. You know, as I've kind of thought about this, I've thought about that the devil will get hooks in us just about any way he can. And the way he puts hooks in people, what I found is very similar, but always looks a lot different. And one of the great hooks that I found that is rooted in people that just continuously seem to make the same cycle mistakes over and over and over again is this word called unforgiveness. It's this word called unforgiveness Can I tell you, when God looked down from the heavens onto humanity and said, what is humanity's greatest need? He didn't look down and say, you know what? Their minds are a little messed up. Maybe I'll send a psychologist. He didn't look down and go, man, like, oh man, the economy down there is really messed up. Maybe I'll send an economist. He looked down and he says, you know what those people need? They need a savior. And what was the primary thing that that savior would bring? A new government? A new economic system? No, it was forgiveness. When God looked down, he realized that most of the hurts, habits, and hangups, the cycles that we go through, the pain that we go through, comes from either not being able to receive forgiveness or give forgiveness. Here's what I found. Most of life is determined by our ability to receive and give forgiveness. Most of your life, the decisions that you make. I watch people make the same decision over and over again for 15 years because they can't forgive somebody. I watch the same people kind of skate in and out of church because they can't settle that God actually really forgives them. I just found that most of the issues in my life are rooted underneath the surface is some level of unforgiveness. That's, by the way, I'll reiterate this again. That's why Jesus' primary mission was forgiveness. Like, he didn't come to become the new Caesar. That's what everybody wanted. They wanted, when's your kingdom coming? When are you going to set up a new empire? No, he's going, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a kingdom of wholeness, a kingdom where forgiveness rules and reigns. He came to bring forgiveness to our lives. I find it interesting, the open passage of Scripture, Jesus is, give you a little context, Jesus is being interrogated by the religious leaders. What were the religious leaders? The religious leaders were guys who took 12 commandments and turned them into 512. When Jesus talked about them, he talked about them like this. He says, you heap heavy burdens on people. You pile it on. Isn't that what unforgiveness feels like? You pile on burdens, but you won't do a thing to help lift it. What is he saying about himself? No, I didn't come to put burdens on. He said, come to me, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Because why? Jesus doesn't put a burden on somebody. He gets up underneath the burden and does the heavy lifting. And so they're coming. They don't know how to size up Jesus, because here's this guy that the religious leaders, all the people who got the ins and outs and do's and don'ts, and they know what's good from bad and right from wrong, and they got all the holiness in their corner. But here's this other guy, Jesus, who's able to raise the dead and heal the sick, and prostitutes want to be around him, and not for wrong reasons. Thieves want to be around him. Like tax collectors, as the Pharisees would call them, all the sinners. And so they're like, what is with this guy? We got to size him up. So here's what we're going to do. We got these 512 commands. You know, we're going to try to trip him up, and we're going to quiz Jesus and figure out which one of these is most important. Like, because you live really different than we do, and we really, really value this stuff. So we're going to see if our values are on the same page. So they go to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, what do you say is the most important commandment? I want to read it to you again. Here's what Jesus replied to him. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first. The first thing that you should do. If our greatest need is forgiveness, and the first thing that we should do is love God, here's what I found. In order to love God, you must receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. The reason Jesus is saying this is the most important thing, because you know what? You'll never love a God that you don't believe forgives you. You may fear him. You may be intimidated by him. You may even try to impress him, but you won't love him. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to know what's really, really important, the first place you got to start is receiving forgiveness from God. Because when you've been forgiven, when you've been loved, you know what I found? You have a tendency to forgive and to love. The Apostle Paul wrote about this, and I want you to see why this is so important. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, he says this, in him, in Jesus, We have redemption through what? His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So here's the good news. Loving God, yes, is on his terms. You know what his terms are? His grace. So Jesus is literally understanding that the primary need for a human is to feel forgiven. How are you going to feel forgiven if it's based on your performance? I want you to get this. It's by what? His blood. And in him, we have forgiveness from our trespasses. That it's only because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. It's because of grace, which means you can't earn it. You can't perform your way into it. You can't do enough right things to get there. Here's what most people, when they're like new to faith, it takes a while to, by the way, this is like every other religion on planet Earth except for Christianity. Every other religion on planet Earth is about how to get to God. Christianity is about how God came to us. But here's how it works, okay? I made a mistake. I made a boo-boo. I cussed the other day, or, I did this, or I got a little, drink a little too much, or I did this. I always wind back up here. Why do I always do these things? Oh, I just feel so awful. Then guilt and shame comes in, and condemnation. You start telling yourself, you're just no good, I'm just no good. And then you're like, well, you know what I should do? I should call a friend. Call a friend, and it's like your girlfriend, hi girl, how you doing? A little hungover today again. I just don't know why God lets me do this stuff, you know what I mean? And your girlfriend's like, hey, you know what you should do? You should go to church. Because that's her answer for everything, right? So just go to church, and so you go to church, right? You go to church, and you're like, you're back here, and then you come in, and you're like, you get to the end of the service, you're like, that's me, Pastor Richard. And all of a sudden, I feel a little bit better. I come back, do that for about 4 weeks in a row, and then whoop! Oh, hey, girl. Yeah, that's right. I've been in church for a little bit. You know what this is called? It's called a treadmill. Where are you going? Nowhere really fast. So tired. Oh, whoop, poof, And then you're like, I hate running. I'm not going to run anymore. And then all of a sudden you start feeling bad again. And you're like, this sin's just weighing me down. I should probably do something about this. You know what? Last time I went to church, I called my girlfriend, told me to go to church. I went 4 weeks. It happened again. This time, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to church and serve. And it just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. And just you're just exhausted. See, church is great. Serving is great, but not to try to get yourself to God. The first command is not to serve the Lord thy God. The first command isn't to make up with the Lord thy God. The first command isn't prove yourself to thy God. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How do you love God? By letting him love you. That's why you needed a Savior. That's why you needed forgiveness. Here's what I want you to understand. God's forgiveness is not earned. It's received. So we come to church because we want to worship. We come to church and we serve because we've been served. We forgive others because we've been forgiven. We don't do any of it to try to get on the right side of God. Here's what I found is in my life is that if I can't receive God's forgiveness, I won't love myself and I won't love other people properly. The conundrum that we get into is that many times people can receive God's forgiveness, but something happened in their life that they can't forgive God. So the first place we got to receive forgiveness is God towards us. You know what I found is that that's where I need it, where I made him boo-boo. But how about the things in my life that I didn't ask for, that happened to me, that somebody did to me, and now I'm blaming God for that? I want you to see what the mark of Job's life was. Job is this guy, he had the worst year ever. You know what I mean? Just period. Just lost everything. His family, his kids, his camels. You know, the equivalent, like you lost your Honda. And then, you know, like he just lost everything. Lost his house. Okay? Job, here's what it says. Here's what it says. Job stood up, tore his robe with grief, and shaved his head. Because that's what you do when you're going through a difficult day. By the way, so next time, like, we should just start a trend at My City. Like, you fall into sin or you make a mistake or whatever, you just tore and start shaving your head. You know what I mean? Boy, girl, it doesn't matter. We'll just shave your head. And then some of you are looking at me funny. Is that what happened, Pastor? No, it's not what happened. Okay, my hair just stays this short all the time. I got jokes this morning. And it says, then he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother and naked I will return. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Through all of this, this is the commentary about Job. Through all of this, Job did not sin or blame God for doing anything wrong. And there's some people in this room, you need to receive God's forgiveness. But maybe you need to go through a part of forgiving God. Because maybe he wasn't to blame. And maybe that's the piece of your life that's causing you to cycle all the time. See, it starts with God, us receiving God's forgiveness, us not blaming God for anything that went wrong. And then Jesus moves on. He says, here's the beautiful result. Matthew chapter 22. He says, and the second, he goes, there's an order. This is second. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what I found? Unforgiveness towards others is usually a sign I can't forgive myself. Now, I want you to track with me for a moment here. Because here's what I mean by this. When somebody does something to you and you can't forgive them, you know what I've almost always found when I sit down with that person? If you dig a couple layers down, they really, really can't forgive themselves. I've seen this in people that got into bad business deals. And somebody did them totally wrong and they lost everything. I've seen this in abusive situations where the person who is abused deep down inside is angry at themselves and cannot forgive themselves because why did I let myself be in that position? Why did I let that happen? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? See, what I found is that if we can receive God's forgiveness, I don't know if you're like me or not, but that for me, I have less of a hard time with. Because like I grew up, like you heard this 1,000 times, Jesus died for your sins so you could be forgiven. And so it's kind of like, well, if he's holy, he's pure, he's full of love. Yeah, I totally get that. Like, that's why he's awesome. Because I'm an idiot and he's not. And, you know, he forgives me. And that's like really, really cool. What I found that the rubber meets the road is the person I have a hard time forgiving is me. That I have a hard time forgiving myself for my mistakes. So the reason that I build all the parameters and the controls and the cycles is because I don't trust myself. I don't forgive myself. And part of the reason is I haven't been completely forgiven. I don't completely understand that forgiveness is not a cover-up. It's a taking away. It's a taking away. It's a taking away. You know what I found is that you're going to have to learn how to, at some point in your life, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. The reason people can't love their neighbor, forgive their neighbor, is because they can't forgive themselves. You love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the thing I found about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting someone else to die. When you cannot forgive yourself, you will end up poisoning yourself. You may poison yourself trying to run 1,000 miles in the opposite direction of the one that you did, only to realize that the full circle of that sprint took you right back to where you began. You may feel like you're punishing the person who treated you wrong by not forgiving them, but really, they've probably moved on. And you're still sitting there drinking the poison, expecting somebody else to be hurt. Can I tell you that probably the greatest need in order for us to what? Love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself is we got to learn how to walk the forgiveness cycle. And here it is. You ready? It's this. There's an order. You got to start with God, then yourself, then others. There's a reason why Jesus put this order together, because it's important that you understand that if you get it out of order, you're going to find yourself in a cycle. You got to get the right things right first. He says, love the Lord your God. This is the first command. Then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Then you can love your neighbor. So as yourself comes first, then others. Now, I want to introduce you to two characters that I'm going to kind of help bring this whole thing together. You ready for this? All right, help me preach, okay? And it's two characters. They both had the same story. They both did the same thing for about 3.5 years. They all followed Jesus. They were both a part of the 12 disciples, and they both committed the same sin. It's Judas and Peter. Like we know Judas. Judas is the guy that like nobody likes. They're like, ooh, wicked Judas. You know what I mean? Like, except for Peter did the same exact thing that Judas did. You know what I mean? But like, you know, but Judas like, ooh, evil Judas. You know what I mean? But basically, Judas got intimidated by the situation, decided rather than running from it, he would just profit from it. He goes out and says, hey, I'll give you Jesus if you give me 30 pieces of silver. And he betrays him with a kiss. Hi. This is Star Wars or something. I was like, no, Darth, no. How great would that have been if like Darth, somebody had a costume? That would have scared me really bad. All right. Anyway. So Judas betrays Jesus, but then we all know Peter, the Apostle Peter, on this rock I will build my church. But he was also the one that Jesus prophesied to and said, before the rooster crows 3 times, you will have denied me 3 times. They both betray Jesus. That's literally the words that is used in the Bible. It's the word betrayal. And I want you to see the different paths that they choose. They get very, very different outcomes. I want you to see Judas, after betraying, I want you to see what happens to him. Matthew chapter 27. It says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was what? Seized with remorse. So his heart broke. He felt bad about what he had done. He felt a level of, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And then he felt what? Responsible to fix it. And he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Next verse. He said, I've sinned. What is he doing? He's confessing. I've sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. And I want you to hear what religion and condemnation sounds like back. Here it is. This is the reply of the Pharisees. What is that to us? They replied, that is your responsibility. So what did Judas do? He threw the money in the temple, and he went and hung himself. I want you to get this. Judas had a different pathway than the one Jesus tried to lay out in the greatest commandment. I think the reason he got the result wasn't because he had the wrong emotions. Like, you feeling guilty about doing something doesn't make it that you're going to get a great outcome. Like, guilty feeling people are not more spiritual than other people. Shame-filled people are not more spiritual than other people. People living under condemnation are not more spiritual than other people. Here's what I would say. The spiritual and the unspiritual will feel moments of shame, condemnation, and guilt. It's what you do with that that makes all the difference in the world. It's who you run to. I want you to see Judas's pathway. Here's Judas's pathway. Others, yourself, then God. So what does he do? He runs to the Pharisees. He says, I've done something bad. I'm grieved. I don't feel good about who I am. So what am I going to do? I'm going to what? Get on the treadmill. I'm going to undo what I did. Hey, what I did is I took money. I don't want it. I want you to, what is he doing? He's making every effort to make up for what he did. I'm going to undo this even though the deed is done. You can't undo a deed that's done. You can't undo your past. You can't undo the sin that you did. You know what? You can bring it to a savior, and the Pharisees weren't one. So he brings it to him. He's trying to undo it. And what do? They say, hey, listen, what does this have to do with us? This is your responsibility. What is he saying? You fix your sin. You fix your sin. You figure out, listen, Judas is the extreme example of what happens when you take responsibility to fix your sin. He hung himself. Condemnation, self-righteousness, and self-effort are the noose that hangs a Christian. Chokes all the life out of them. Takes them down a path that they can't win. Because why? Were they right? See, this is the thing. The law never lies. The law of God never lies. It always tells the truth. What did it have to do with them? It wasn't their problem. Judas did it. Was it his responsibility? Yes. So what did he do? He took responsibility. When you take responsibility that you're not meant to carry for the weight that you carry, it will always crush. I want to fast forward. I want to remind you just one more time. I forgive you. Here's the order. God, yourself, others. Judas put himself in that position because he couldn't forgive himself. I want you to see the same thing, Peter. Peter has denied Jesus. He didn't just do it once. He'd done it three times. He was so revved up about it, he got in a fight with a little girl about it. There's like a little 12-year-old girl. They're like, we know you're with him. He's like, I curse you. I mean, like, imagine that's how fired up he is. He's like cursing little girls. Like, that's how bad it was just to get away, okay? And he's what? He's completely given up. He's betrayed Jesus. He feels awful on the inside. He doesn't know what to do about it. And so what does he do? He cycles. He doesn't feel forgiven. Doesn't know exactly where to go with it. So you know what he does? He cycles. When Jesus finds him in John chapter 21, after he's raised from the grave, he finds Peter back in the same place that he found him 3.5 years earlier. Jesus found Peter walking down the beach, saw him fishing, said, hey, Simon, son of Jonah, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Simon left everything, followed Jesus for the next 3.5 years until he betrayed Jesus. Unforgiveness. Doesn't know where to go to find forgiveness. Cycles back. John chapter 21, Jesus finds Peter back fishing in a boat. I want you to see the story here. John chapter 21 says, so when they had eaten breakfast, give you a little context here. Peter's back out fishing in the boat. And all of a sudden, there's this guy on the shore. And he goes, hey, 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 what you doing out there? They're like, what do you mean, what are we doing out here? We're fishing. What does it look like we're doing? You go, you catch anything? I'm a little sarcastic. They're like, we've been out here all night. We haven't caught a thing. He said, don't worry about it. Throw your nets on the other side of the boat, the right side of the boat. And they're like, nah, you know, but they do it. They throw it on the other side. And they get this massive catch, right? This massive catch. Everybody else is worried about trying to get the fish in. Peter's like, no, 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 no. This is my moment. Because if he's still showing up, it means he still loves me. So rather than like, hey, John, I know we got a lot of fish, but can you just talk to me for a moment, man? I mean, you saw me betray him. I mean, is he going to try to kill me? Is he not going to try to kill me? I mean, what do you think I should do? You know what I mean? No, he doesn't care. Because he's not worried about them. He understands whether John loves him or not, he has no power to forgive. So he's going to, hey, John, see you later. Woo, he strips down, jumps in the water, and starts swimming in the water. When he gets there, he finds Jesus sitting there. Can you imagine being Peter swimming back? Like, you're pretty confident Jesus is for you, but you just betrayed him three times. I mean, he might lightning bolt you. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, so you're swimming going, man, what do I do? I guess I'll just run up and grovel. That would have been my response. Like, oh my God, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did this. I'm such a failure. I would have given a list of all my resume of failure and why I deserved his punishment. and why I should be put aside and whatever. And can you imagine him coming up out of the water? There's breakfast? Hey, sit down. All of a sudden, you're like, hi, Jesus. I guess we're cool, right? You want to eat together? This is cool. And it says, after they eat breakfast, after what? Peter had felt rest. Here's what I found. Unforgiveness is unsettling. You don't feel settled. If you can't forgive somebody else, nothing's settled. That's why it tears apart families. Ruins homes. See, Jesus just settles them for a moment, and he's about to walk them through the pathway. And he looks at him and he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? If I was Simon, I would have asked that question of him. Do you love me? But Simon, after eating breakfast, doesn't need to ask that question. He knows Jesus loves him. By the way, that's what grace feels like. Grace is to getting what you do not deserve. It's a warm embrace when you should be slapped. It's a hug when you should be kicked. That's grace. And so he goes, Simon, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then he said to him, feed my lambs. Then he says to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he said to him, then tend my sheep. Then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was what? Grieved. It's the same emotion. Judas felt that. It's a different person sitting with him. He's going to the right source at the right time, the right place. He's grieved and he says, Lord, you know, do you love me? And he says, Lord, just to be clear, you know everything. And you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Here's what you'll find. Jesus walked him through. First, sit down. Peter, do you love me? What was he asking? Peter, in this moment, can you receive my love? Then he tells him, here's what I want you to do. If you can, feed my sheep. Second one, Peter, do you love me? What's he saying? Is there any part of you that blames me for this? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then what? Tend my sheep. Third one, Peter, do you love me? Grieved. Why was he grieved? Because this is where Peter had to forgive himself. Because he loved Jesus, and he knew Jesus loved him. He just wasn't sure about his calling anymore, his place in the family. Was he accepted the same way he was before? And Jesus is righting that wrong, and he's saying, Peter, do you love me? And he's grieved. And then he says what? Then feed my sheep. I want you to see Jesus' outcome. It was feed, tend, feed. Feed, tend, feed. The first one was what? Receiving God's forgiveness. The second one was what? Rejecting unforgiveness. The third one was what? Receiving forgiveness towards oneself. What is Jesus saying? Hey, if you want to make it and be a strong believer, the root of most cycles over and over again, you're going to have to get really good at feeding on forgiveness. You're going to have to be really good at tending to your heart to make sure that there is no unforgiveness that wells up in your heart. Why? By the way, that's what pastoring is. So he's saying, go feed my sheep. What is he saying? He can, what I just did with you, feed, tend, feed. That's what I need you to do with people. And that's what I feel like God's wanting me to do with you today. The greatest need in your life is that you find forgiveness with God. Second greatest need in your life is to forgive those that have hurt you and wounded you. So does the teachings of Jesus make a whole lot more sense here? How do you love your enemy? How do you do that? Forgiveness. Because why? You're not my enemy. You can come against me. You don't have to be my enemy if I forgive you. Here's the beautiful news, and I'm going to kind of land here, and I want to pray for some people. I want this to sink in for a moment. Somebody's heart, you're in a cycle, just kind of, it's always repeating, trying to make up to God, falling down, always trying. Here's what Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says. It says, there is therefore, what's the therefore? Because of what Jesus has done for you. Not because of what you've done for him, because of what he's done for you. There is therefore now. Well, Pastor, do I need to make up for a while? Like, no, that doesn't work that way with God. That works sometimes with my wife. You know what I mean? You got some chores to do after that. You got some making up to do. Okay? But God don't roll like that. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And there's people in this room this morning, you're having an impossible time believing that a perfect God loves you just the way you are and you can receive forgiveness. There's some of us, you can get that kind of wrapped around your head, but you cannot forgive yourself. You beat yourself up and beat yourself up and beat yourself up. I'm telling you, you're going to repeat the cycle. You got to learn to forgive yourself. And there's some of us in here today, we need to learn how to forgive. Somebody hurt us. You didn't ask for it. No point in drinking the poison. And you're the only one who gets hurt. Let it go. Forgive. Why don't we stand to our feet? There's people in this room, you've been wounded and hurt. Just every head bowed and every eye closed. We're just going to create a little moment just between us and God. There's people in this room that you've been hurt deeply, and the thought of that person just enrages you. You feel sorry. I mean, but you can feel there's a whole level of emotion, and you know right now you need to forgive. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. It's not for them, it's for you. You're going to unlock the prison door that you've put yourself in. Father, I thank you today. God, they don't deserve it, but we're going to give it. God, I thank you. Lord, you've forgiven us so much. God, let forgiveness towards others flow. There's still other people in this place. Speaking specifically to you, you're having a terrible time forgiving yourself. I don't know what you did, and I don't need to know what you did. I'm not your Savior. Jesus is. And there is therefore now, right here, right now, no condemnation for those that are in Christ. You need to forgive yourself. One of the best exercises you could do today is go home, stand in front of a mirror, and look at yourself and tell yourself out loud, I forgive you. I forgive you.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.